Romans chapter 4 is really an incredible chapter, and I want to deal in a couple aspects of it. What people need, what you're looking for, and what is necessary for you is righteousness. That's the need. If you're righteous, you can get into glory. So righteousness is the substance that is necessary in order to have life. That's the substance. And Romans chapter 4 is telling you how you get righteousness, or how it's put to you. And I'm going to start in verse 1, but really I want to get down just a little bit in the passage in just a minute. Verse 1, Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, and I would put out there James chapter 2, if you don't have that in your Bible. James chapter 2 is the verse they're always going to drive you to, they're going to take you to, faith without works. Well, folks, our faith comes with works too. It just happens not to be your work. It's the work of Calvary's cross. And faith without works is dead. But our faith came with works. It was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people get all kinds of confused. It's just not your work. And he says, and if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, his what?
Belief.
His belief. And it was counted unto him for what?
Righteousness.
Go to Ephesians. Hold on to here because we're coming right back. Go to Ephesians. And you may want to write this down when you get back. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. The Bible says this. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what?
Boast.
It's a gift of God. Righteousness was counted unto him by his belief. So you're not saved. You're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's a faith issue. And go back to Romans chapter 4. I love these passages. You're talking about, you know, people say, well, I just don't understand this. Well, then you just don't really believe the Bible. Because these passages are not ambiguous or vague. They're not confusing of any sort. God's not trying to confuse you. God's trying to lay it out so that you've got it in your mind. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. See, you can't have works and grace at the same time. You can't. It's like oil and water. You can't mix works and grace. You can't say, well, it's grace, and say, I'm working for it. How do we know that? Go to Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Here's the proof text. There's a proof text for everything in the Bible here. In Romans chapter 11, look if you will in verse 6. Anna Grace, I thought you went to Texas too. What? You got left behind? See what happens when you're 13? That stinks, doesn't it? I thought you were going with sister. All right, well, you can come stay over at preacher's house. It's not much of a vacation, but we could use somebody to mop the floor. Romans 11, verse 6. And this is what the Bible says. And if by grace, then it's no more of
works.
Otherwise, grace is no more grace. You can't have grace and works in the same element. I don't know how many times. If I got a nickel, like Minnie Pearl used to say, howdy, She said, if I got a nickel for every time I said that, I'd be rich. Well, I think she probably got a nickel because she ended up pretty rich. But the whole idea of grace and works is that it's like you can't mix the two. I was going to draw an illustration and I went over to the board and forgot.
A senior mom.
And if by grace in it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more works. Oh yeah. I don't know, for a nickel I got, this is a person's life, and they were living like a heathen over here, and they get saved here, and then they got to live a good life from here on. I mean, don't get mad at me, but every Baptist, every Pentecostal, everybody I've ever met kind of teaches that doctrine. Well, that would deny Romans 11, verse 6. If it's grace here, bless God, it's going to be grace there. And grace is the absence of your human effort. Grace is a gift. You know, we talk about eternal life. I mean, people always go, well, I don't know if I believe in that eternal life thing. Well, if it's by grace, you can believe in eternal life. You know why? It's not anything you're doing. It isn't anything you're mustering up. Grace is the absence of any human involvement, and it can't mix with works. Look at Romans 11, verse 6, the last part of that verse. It says, and if by grace and it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. So it works just the opposite. You can't have grace. Grace is the absence of your touching anything. That's the way it is. Say, well, don't you ought to keep a moral high ground? Well, we kind of went over that Wednesday, right? You know, onto the pure, all things are pure, but it's not all expedient. And, you know, you've got to be careful in front of the lost man what you do and act like. You got it? You can't just live your life like any Joe Roger in front of somebody who's lost. Is it okay? Oh, funny, Roman. He was a little sluggish on that, but he said senior moment. For a guy who just had his 61st birthday, I'd leave me alone. Although he had the best golf game he'd had in his life, so... You know, things do get better with age, guys. I'm just telling you. There's a few things that die and seem like you never recover, but the golf game can continue to improve. And you know what's nice about golf? They honestly respect seniors. You know, when you're a young buck, you get the white tees, but when you're an old man, you get the gold tees way up front. You're even in front of the girls sometimes. I ain't kidding you, and I take advantage of it as often as I can. They said, you should be hitting from the senior tee. Okay. All right, that wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be. You cannot live your life any way you want in front of the lost. You know what? If Larry came over and he acted like a nincompoop and had a beer or two, you know, wouldn't be a big deal. But if Larry's sitting out there in front of a lost person, that could be a big deal. You all understand? So, I don't know what that means. So go back to Romans chapter 4. So, Romans chapter 4 is trying to reiterate the point that works can't be involved in your salvation. And it doesn't matter to what point. You know, if you work for it, it's not the right reward of grace, it's the payment for debt. I mean, that's what he's saying. If you work for it, then God owes it to you. God doesn't owe me anything. I was so far outside the covenant, if God owed me anything, I'd like to know what it was. I mean, guys, I deserve to go straight to hell. I mean, think about it. You guys in this audience and watching me on TV, you know what you really are. That's an amazing thing. You can fake it out. You can act like, oh, I'm a saint. You know, polishing your halo. You like those sound effects, didn't you? Uh-huh, me too. Anyway, you know, you're up there polishing your halo and you got your chicken breast all stepped out and you're walking like a saint. Or a gay saint. No. You know what I mean? I mean, you got this thing going on and you think you're God's gift to the earth. But Israel wasn't there for a Gentile to bless, so you didn't have that option. And you were so far outside the covenant. For God to save you, it took the most amazing act, really, of grace. And in Romans chapter 4, he's trying to show these people. And you got to remember, he's talking to Jews and Gentiles mixed. He's talking about people that knew the law. I want to read verse 3 again in Romans chapter 4. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, his belief, was counted on him for righteousness. Now to him that that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And I'd put Romans chapter 11, verse 6, right by that piece right there if I was a Bible student. But to him that worketh not... Should I try that again? To him that worketh not... but believeth on him that justify the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Remember, the element that we need is this. That's what we've got. Now, let's say for a minute, you trust the Lord Jesus Christ right here. Okay, there it is. That's the moment in time. Everybody here has got a date that's saved. Brenda, Mary, anybody, shout out a date. March, all right, there it is. That's it, right there. That's the day. Well, you were made the righteousness of God in Him. Then over here, you're going to be just as much the righteousness of God in Him there as you would be right there. That's why God uses the term like He does in Colossians. Look in Colossians chapter 2. That's why He uses this term here. Boy, I love this book, don't you? I mean, it just keeps coming. I mean, there is no way you can miss this unless you want to miss this. Say, well, I just don't get it. Well, then you're an idiot. Look, if Brother Barry can get it, you know that it's approved for? Anybody can get it. Colossians chapter 2. This is what why he uses this term. Verse 10. And ye are complete in Him. Once you have His righteousness, how much more righteousness are you going to need? Baptism or anything you can do or add to, how about the Lord's Supper? Anything is going to add to what you are already in Christ. And the answer is absolutely nothing. You got it? Zilch. Nada. There isn't anything you got to add. You don't have to act a certain way. You don't have to be a certain way. Once you're saved, you are the righteousness of God in Him. And once you have that righteousness, that is the key for eternal life. The key, the ticket, is righteousness. You got it? Once you got it, you don't lack it. You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You don't have to worry. You're complete. The whole key is righteousness. So I always want to ask people, well, what are they going to bring to the table that's going to make them more righteous than God? See, what they're getting is the righteousness of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a familiar verse, one that many of you guys could even quote. But you got to add it in for somebody who may be new here. You know, watching the internet for the first time. 2 Corinthians 5. Look, if you will, in verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Look at what you've got. You don't just have righteousness like you mustered it up on your own. You got the gift of righteousness, which happens to be the righteousness of God. Verse 21. For He, that's Almighty God, have made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Here it is, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Once we're made the righteousness of God, if you have the righteousness of God, you lack anything? No. You don't have to worry from that point on, from the time you're made righteousness until the time you're taken out, you're the righteousness of God, not by your action, not because you've done some great deed, not because God looked down upon you and said, boy, isn't that person charming. You were made the righteousness of God because you believed that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And God was honored by that and gave you a gift. He gave you a gift based upon His grace. And that's the righteousness of God. You're looking at a guy that is as righteous as Almighty God. Say, well, Barry, I know you. And that's almost impossible to think. I know. That's why they call it amazing grace. You're right. I agree. You shave in the morning and you look into your eyes and you know what you thought. I had the weirdest dream last night and I'm thinking, where in the world do these dreams come from? This thing was bloody and I don't know what it is about swords. I was swinging and killing everybody in my dream. And I was just like, you're very violent, Barry. You need to behave your dreams. I'm like, I have no control. I'm like arguing myself in my dream. Y'all ever do that? And one time I tried to change the channel. Y'all ever do that? I'm quitting dreaming this. I'm going to dream something else. And I'll start to dream something else. And next thing I know, I'm back in that same dream. And I'm like, what's going on? So I only took off like 30 heads or something. It was kind of bloody. And I hadn't even done any video games. Can you imagine if I'd watched a few video games? Woo! Anyway, Romans 4:4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Listen, if you work for it, then God owes it to you. God doesn't have to promise. I mean, look at his attitude toward the law. Look in Romans chapter 2, verse 13. Hey, if you do it, if you go and do the work, God owes it to you, boys and girls. You know what's amazing to me? There's a few things that I've thought about human ego in the play of life. And we all have an ego. You all know that, right? And that builds up some confidence and makes us kind of attractive to one another. We like to have somebody that's a little bit confident. And, you know, like Renee, when she shaved off her head, she had enough confidence inside to, you know, to be able to do that. It takes guts, you know. Well, what?
I didn't say a word.
Oh, someone said something over there. Verse 13, watch this. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So if you say, well, listen, I believe you ought to have to work to keep your salvation. You know, I mean, after you're saved, remember the scenario, I'm going to work to keep my salvation. Well, you can't miss a beat.
That's right.
But here's the ego part that really drives me bonkers. I mean, it just drives me, it literally makes me want to puke. You like how I use these adjectives so well? I mean, other preachers can't say puke. Because that would be like, oh my, that isn't godly. Well, I think puking is pretty much godly. The ego part that comes into this that drives me bonkers is one from Adam to Moses was how many years? 2,500 years. And from Moses, which is where the law came, right? Until Christ, 1,500 years. Approximately. Give or take a little bit, right? And for 1,500 years, the guys that heard the law day in, day out, every Sabbath, written on the walls, written on the temple, written on the walls of the city, written on their house posts, written everywhere, the laws and the elders of the city going around making sure all the strangers that come in know the law. And 1,500 years. 1,500 years! And not one kept it. Hello?
Jesus kept it.
Huh?
Jesus kept it.
Well, yeah, he did keep it, but he also didn't have the same blood we have.
It didn't apply to him.
Well, it did actually apply to him, but he did keep it. And that's why he said in 2 Corinthians 5, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So he did keep it, but no one else has kept it. You got it? 1,500 years. And then all of a sudden a Baptist comes along, gets saved, and now they're able to keep it. That should chuckle you just a little bit. Amen? Are you kidding me? I mean, they don't even know when the Sabbath is. You've got to be joshing me. Well, that takes an ego, guys. You all understand? To think, man, I've conquered it. Really? Yes, I don't smoke or drink. I don't even curse. We call it cussing. No, I don't curse. I am better than those. And it reminds me of Isaiah, you know, where we read in Isaiah. Go to Isaiah. Hold on here. Go to Isaiah. If you can't find Isaiah, just fumble around until... Go to the index. Go to Isaiah 65. You know, even some of the Mennonites, which is fascinating to me, up north, they think by wearing the covering they have fulfilled the entire prophecy of God. Hey, listen, if you're complete and you're righteous because of the grace of God and God gave it to you. You didn't get it on your own and you didn't work for it and you didn't all of a sudden muster up the faith to get it. In Isaiah 65, look if you will, in verse 5. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's in sarcasm. These people which say, stand by thyself, come not near unto me, for I'm holier than thou. Okay, I thought that would get a little more laughter than just Larry. You ever meet people like that? You know, don't come near unto me, I'm holier than thou. I had this one preacher one time. I was walking along with Wayne, and she says, you're like a real person. Really? Surprise! You know, and after Tony's gotten to know me a little bit, he says, like, you're nothing special. I've been telling you that the whole time. He says, you're not like... who's the guy over in Atlanta? Charles Stanley. You know, you could probably not even talk to Charles Stanley. You know what I mean? Hey, listen. Here's the good news. You guys could take me out to eat for lunch. And I'll sit down and chit-chat with you. I might even sign an autograph if you like. You know, I am on TV. I mean, you know, isn't that the most ridiculous thing? Doesn't it make you want to puke? Listen, stand by thyself, come not near unto me, for I'm holier than thou. Listen to what God said. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all day. Amen? I mean, he isn't impressed with your self-righteousness and your attitude. He's impressed with his son, Jesus Christ. See, God's impressed with him, not you. God's impressed with the great Savior. That's who he's impressed with. Go back to Romans chapter 4. And why did God give us these examples of these Old Testament saints that got their righteousness by believing? Okay, that was a question. When I go up on the end of a sentence, usually means like I'm asking a question. Huh? Okay, without faith. But why? Why? Why did God use Old Testament saints to prove that it was by faith you're going to gain righteousness versus works?
A lot of people only believe in the Old Testament.
Well, let me make it simple, guys. He used people that were outside the law, back here. He used people under the law, over here, to show that God was going to impute righteousness, and that God never did. Listen, God was never going to justify anybody on planet Earth based upon their works. Never. Doesn't matter what dispensation you lived in. Ever. Are you listening to me? Look at this. He said, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Now, why is that important with David? So that God can show you that he was never going to just... Look in Galatians chapter 2. Hold on here. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Look right past it. I mean, this is non-dispensational truth in a sense. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall what? Not one. None. Go to Romans chapter 3. Look, if you will, in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall what? No flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the what? Well, God didn't enter the law so that you could become righteous. The law never entered so that any of these guys would become righteous. Thus, he used David as an example of grace in the middle of the law. Why? Because what he did, there was no sacrifice or works you could do in order to be saved. There was no blood sacrifice for murder. There was no blood sacrifice for adultery. If you were caught in adultery, they were taken out and stoned and killed. And the only way that David could have had hope, or any man could ever have hope, is by God imputing unto them righteousness. And he did those men so that when we got to the dispensation of grace over here, we would be able to look back here and say, well, God did it to David. God did it to Abraham. God did it to those guys. And you know what? God will do it for any man that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will impute his righteousness to that man. Wow. I mean, that just, hello. Verse 7, Romans 4, verse 7. At least you know that I'm drinking a Diet Coke. You know, I always wondered about those preachers that have the clear water up there. You can't really tell whether that's vodka or water. You know what I mean? You can't tell. But if you're drinking out of a Diet Coke can, it's probably just Diet Coke. I just thought about that.
Most of them drink out of a gold cup, though. You can't tell the water.
I mean, I always notice that when they drink that water, have you ever noticed when they drink that water, they go like this? And I thought about that. You know, I don't normally do that when I just drink water. It's fun to come to church here, amen? Verse 7. And you get to learn something too, amen? That proves that you can have fun at church and learn something, amen? That will cost you extra, just the plates back there. Saying, verse 7, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered, and you know David must have felt that, amen? And David said, what? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know what I'd write right next to that? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. And I would turn there. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 5, 19. All right, hang on. Let me get verse 19. You can ask your question. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, what? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. You see that? Is God imputing your trespasses unto you?
No.
Then how could you lose your salvation if God's not imputing your trespasses unto you? You all understand? If God's not imputing it, who in the world is imputing it to you? The religious leaders and people that want to control you. That's it. It isn't God. God is not imputing your trespasses unto you. All right, William, you had a question.
Yeah. Did David gain that knowledge while he was alive?
Yes. That he was imputed?
Right.
Yeah, I think Psalms 51 pretty much clearly states, you know, that if it wasn't for the Lord, he'd be in trouble. And Psalms 51 is pretty much the call of repentance of David to the Lord and the Lord's answer. He knew he had done things that were worthy of death.
Right.
And how did he know that? And Samuel, Nathan comes to him and says, hey, I got this guy who's got a wee little lamb. And this guy who has a lot of lambs took the guy's one lamb, wee little lamb, and took it. And David said, that man should be put to death. And Nathan looked at him and said, thou art the man. So he knew he was guilty. And he knew, because Nathan got it, that God knew.
That's right.
See, the one thing you got to understand is God knows, guys.
That's right.
You know, the thing is you ought to relax. God knows. Everyone here, God knows whether you're lost or you're saved.
That's right.
He's not going up there. No way. God knows who in this room is lost and saved. And you know what? You're not fooling them. You might be deceiving yourself. The heart is deceitful and above all things, what? Desperately wicked. You may let your heart fool you like, oh, God loves me because of all the good works. No, he's not seen those. He said, in fact, all of your righteousness in Isaiah 64 is nothing but filthy rags. Everything you can muster up. See, I don't understand what people put so much countenance in clothing and material and actions. Everything I'm counting on is the Lord Jesus Christ. My total reliance is upon Him. So, Go back to Romans chapter 4. Verse 9. And this is another important part of grace. Look in verse 9. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Why? That's to prove that over here in the dispensation of grace, that uncircumcised and circumcised can get saved the same way.
Right.
So why did God choose Abraham over here and David over here? So no matter where you thought you were, God could show you that you could be imputed with righteousness. See, Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to skip down to verse 24, and all of it's good. But I'm running out of time, and I want you to see this. It's so incredible. Verse 24, Romans 4, 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. It's going to be imputed to us just like it was Him.
Right.
Who is a reference to Jesus our Lord, who was delivered. The word for is the Greek word D-I-A. You may want to write that in there. D-I-A. I don't want you to be a Greek scholar. I'm not a Greek scholar. But the word D-I-A is translated in Matthew chapter 13, 21, because of. Now, I'm not going to do any harm to the King James Bible, but I want you to use the word because of just in your mindset. Watch. Who was delivered because of our offense. Why was He hung on that cross? Because of our offense, because of my sin. And was raised again because of our what?
Justification.
Jesus Christ justified us in the resurrection. How do we know we've been justified and imputed?
Resurrection.
That was why. See, God Almighty laid it out in a way that anybody, whether you were circumcised or uncircumcised, whether you were Jew or Gentile, whether you could be anything, in Romans chapter 4, if you'll believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, He will impute unto you the same righteousness He imputed unto David and to Abraham, and it's the righteousness of God. And then He gets in Romans chapter 5 and talks about the free gift, and the free gift is righteousness. Now, free is a very ironic word. Why? Because it means what it means. Free doesn't mean you work for it after you get saved. Free, you got it complete. It's like the car. How many here has got a car? How many here has got a payment on the car? Okay, you don't have the car. The bank has the car. Go try to get the title of the car. You see what I'm saying? But if you have the title free and clear, guess what? You own it. You got it. Y'all with me? When you got the free gift, you got it lock, stock, and barrel. You own it. It's yours. It's not like you're in debt to doing something in order to get it out of debt. And that's righteousness. So this morning I wanted you to get the idea of righteousness. You're imputed righteousness by belief that God raised Him from the dead. You know what? That doesn't require anything for you to do. And people, I'm telling you, we make it hard, don't we? All right, we're going to take a break.